Young people need a rite of passage to mark their entry into responsible adulthood. In my case, the rite of passage was earning the rank of Eagle Scout. I'm not sure how it is these days, but in 1976, few Boy Scouts achieved that honor. 9 Scouts from our troop earned their Eagle in that year, including my brother and I. It was a milestone that marked not only our mastery of many technical skills, but a degree of mastery over ourselves. We had learned and demonstrated a level of responsibility that indicated we were well on the way to becoming trustworthy adults. In a real sense, we were living out what Paul said. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Putting away childish things is a lengthy and sometimes arduous process. That's one of the lessons I learned from my scouting experience. On one of my first camping trips with our troop, I recall our scoutmaster giving instructions about setting up our campsite. At one point, he paused to look squarely at one of my friends and say, "I want you to listen carefully. You have a tendency to go off half-cocked." I realized later that he could have said that to every one of us. Going off half-cocked is a saying that harkens back to the days of flintlock muskets. The musket wasn't supposed to fire until it was loaded and primed, and the hammer was pulled back to the ready or cocked position. Sometimes, though, a faulty firing mechanism, or a careless marksman, might cause the piece to fire when the hammer was set at half-cock during the loading process. In applying that image to us young scouts, our scoutmaster meant we had a tendency to listen haphazardly to his instructions and then go do something he had never intended. We learned to overcome that childish tendency by hard experience. Our scoutmasters never punished us. All they had to do was let us live with the consequences of our foolish inattention and disobedience. It's amazing how much we learned when suffering through cold nights because we neglected to bring enough warm clothing, or wet nights because we pitched our tents in a low area prone to flooding, or hungry nights because we spoiled or wasted our food. The most memorable and often most painful lessons happened when we caused confusion and suffering to our friends because we didn't do our part of the work or led them astray. These are the childish things we had to put away, which we did by learning how to listen, ask questions, obey, and work as a team. This is the process of human maturity that's been going on ever since our first ancestors went off half-cocked and fell prey to the deceiver who caused them to doubt what they had heard from the Creator. God said, "From all the trees in the garden you are most welcome to eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you must not eat, for when you eat from it, you most assuredly will die." For some reason, our first mother understood his instructions like this: "Of the fruit of the trees we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said you must not eat of it and you must not touch it, or you will die." That gap in understanding was just the opportunity the deceiver needed. Our mother Eve wasn't prepared to deal with his cunning arguments, and so she disobeyed. Her loving husband followed suit, and so did all their offspring down to each one of us today. The disobedience of our ancestors compelled our Creator to issue new instructions, but those too were honored largely in the breach. When our first parents' sons fell to fighting and one killed the other, then the Creator had to issue instructions about shedding of blood. In fact, every story about our biblical ancestors reveals another occasion in which the Almighty had to make new instructions to mark the distinction between acceptable and unacceptable behavior. By the time Israel became a nation, Moses had to write down the instructions as a code of laws. Well, more than a code of laws, but that's how we've come to regard the Torah. The Torah is the sum of God's teaching, commandments, and law recorded in the five books of Moses. Much of it seems harsh and foreign to our modern Western sensibilities, and thus we listen with only half an ear, if we pay attention at all. Why, for example, should we care that Hebrew slaves were to be released after 7 years, or about proper protocol for selling one's daughter into servitude, or that slaves injured by their masters were to be freed? Such things belong to the ancient Near East, not 21st century America. But then, dismissing those ancient provisions of law means we haven't learned the reasons our God gave them in the first place. It also means we've forgotten the plight of tenant farmers in the segregated South who would have longed for a term of only 7 years to their servitude. It means we've turned a blind eye and a deaf ear to the girls and boys sold many times daily for the pleasure they bring to customers and the profit they bring to their handlers. A status of servitude that imparts dignity and hope of a happy life just might be something those children would prefer. Or perhaps we've forgotten the chain gangs of convicts, or even the faces of coal-begrimed miners, each of whom might be worked to death as surely as if they were in a Nazi camp, and no one would be the wiser. Come to think of it, the archaic laws of Israel in the ancient Near East aren't so archaic after all. It seems that human nature doesn't change in the way human technology changes. We regard ourselves as enlightened and sophisticated, but in reality we're no better than our fathers and mothers. All we've done is learn how to make the same mistakes faster and more efficiently. David knew that 3,000 years ago, which is why he wrote, "Do you indeed speak righteousness, O gods? Do you judge uprightly, O sons of men? No, in heart you work unrighteousness. On earth you weigh out the violence of your hands. The wicked are estranged from the womb. Those who speak lies go astray from birth." In fact, our God knew that from the beginning. Messiah Yeshua revealed as much when he explained why God made laws about divorce. Yeshua said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. Now I tell you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery." If we ask what the Messiah means by hardness of heart, we won't like the answer. It means something like listening haphazardly to God's instructions and then going off to do something he had never intended. In other words, we haven't really put away childish things after all. One wonders what Moses would have written had he recorded the Torah in our generation. The specific provisions may have been different, but the principles behind them would not have changed. The law, by the way, cannot change us. It can only point out our shortcomings. Change happens when we listen to the lawgiver, learning the principles behind his instructions, and allow them to sink deeply into our hearts and flow out through our thoughts and actions. That's how we traverse the rite of passage from childhood to adulthood according to our Heavenly Father's reckoning. Anything less leaves us prone to going off half-cocked.